There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. And easy to get in touch with the show as well. 251-343-0106 for a call or a text. 251-343-0106. Plus, using the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can leave us a talkback message as well on this week of Independence Day. Yeah, there's a lot going on. It's pretty darn cool. And one thing, though, and before we bring our guest on here, and although I'll get him on a second to comment, headlines here, monitors in the studio said, the Great American State Fair celebrates the MAHA movement, you know, Make America Healthy Again. And I've seen some videos from the Great American State Fair. It looked like some normal-sized Americans walking around. I don't know. I mean, you've got a state fair. And we're going to make America healthy again. Did they? Let me go ahead and bring on the man behind Alabama Daily News, the host of Capital Journal. You know him, you love him. The crowd goes wild for Todd Stacey. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Sean. How's it going?
Good. So help me here. Okay, so it's the Great American State Fair, right? This is going on for a few weeks in celebration of the semi-quincentennial. How do you have a state fair you don't have? Funnel cakes, cotton candy, the giant like Philly cheesesteak, the giant pretzels with the how do we do this? If this is celebrating making America healthy again, did they ban all the fair food?
I don't know, but there ain't nothing healthy about a state fair.
Right, right.
I mean, yeah, you're right. Funnel cakes. I mean, this is where people walk around with big old turkey legs.
That's right.
You know, and cotton candy, funnel cakes, big old corn dogs, giant corn dogs.
Oh, yeah, the corn dogs, the super corn dogs.
So when I worked up in Tennessee, you know, state fairs here in Alabama, it's kind of like, yeah, state fair or whatever. When I worked in Tennessee, the big thing there are the county fairs. Like, they really go all out. They're kind of competitive county to county. And I loved going to the different county fairs because I was working politics, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so cool, man. If they could do anything like that, I guess it's kind of too late, but if we could really incorporate that, like, southern, midwestern, like, county fair, because it is true Americana. Yep. It is really special, and I hope that culture remains. But yeah, you don't go there to lose weight, man.
Maybe they have RFK Jr. Maybe at the this Great American fair here that's going on, the Great American State Fair, that you're like, somebody's walking around with like a cotton candy or the giant corn dog, and here comes RFK Jr. smacking it out of their hand. Put that down.
Drink your smoothie. Go drink your cabbage, whatever. I think the sauerkraut. They're obsessed with sauerkraut to lose weight, so... But he looks healthier than me, though. I got to admit that.
He's doing good. I just wanted, you know, I've said in the past, if he wanted to make America healthy again, he could, you know, constitute the National Guard to take on the Keebler factory, you know, or go to the Twinkies place and assault them, but yeah, if we got I don't know. We'll see what comes of it. Just, it stood out to me as we started the show today that the Great American State Fair is celebrating the MAHA movement. I'm like, oh, okay.
Nope.
Let's see how that works. All right. Hey, while we're speaking of food, let's start off with this. And y'all's story with Alabama's SNAP error rate rising and the state facing $200 million price tag. Can you talk about that? I know we have before about how this works.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is the formula here for SNAP?
So, SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, commonly referred to as food stamps, there's an error rate. Every state has one, meaning the amount of benefits that go out unintentionally or fraudulently. It's actually not a ton of fraud. It's like people whose incomes went just above the threshold and therefore that, you know, weren't qualified for it. There's lots of reasons it happens. But ours was hovering around 8%. It went up to about 10% this last year. Well, the reason why this matters, aside from just, yeah, every state wants to have it as low as possible, and we've done really well in recent years at that. The one big beautiful bill that passed last year mandated that states get their error rate below, I think it was 6% or below a certain threshold.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was 6.
Or else that state, if you don't get your error rate down, then you're going to have to be on the hook for a certain percentage of the, you know, the cost of the program. Because it's a state-run program with federal money. Well, we don't have, that would mean, like you said, $200 million in that neighborhood for Alabama if we can't get our error rate down, which we won't. And so the state is, you know, wondering where in the world are we going to get $200 million that is just not laying around. But what's really, so the state has been asking Congress, hey, let's give us a break here. But that did not happen in the latest Farm Bill draft. But what's really just maddening, Sean, is that if your state had an error rate of like 15 or 18 or 20, then you actually got a waiver. You actually, so like,
wait,
Florida,
if you failed it even more.
Yeah, like Florida, Georgia, Texas, they all have error rates that are way worse than Alabama, but they're not getting a cut because the written into that law was, oh, well, if you're in serious bad shape, we'll give you a little more time to get the. So Alabama is being punished for having a better run, more efficient program than Florida, Georgia, Texas, and other states, and that's is just really, I can't quite figure out why that's the case.
Yeah, and how that law was written. I mean, it's a perverse incentive to not, you know, not
absolutely
try to get the error rate down. You spend time in Washington. How they write that law and say, yeah, this is good.
Who voted on that? Yeah, yeah. Come on.
I mean, that's dumb.
I mean, I get wanting to reduce waste, fraud, and abuse. I mean,
we're not arguing about that. We're arguing about the state that has a bigger percentage of fraud not having to pay the money that one that has it tighter does.
Yeah, and you've got to know, obviously, those delegations, Florida, Georgia, Texas, are pretty influential. And you've got to think that those states probably intentionally did that, you know, understanding it wasn't going to be any skin off their back, at least not in the short term. And by the time they're going to be required to do something, so there'll be a different president and a different Congress, they'll get rid of it. But right now, Alabama's on the hook for $200 million, and that really does just threaten the existence of the program in general. And I mean, yeah, food stamps, SNAP, it kind of has a negative connotation, but it is an essential program. I mean, people use it to stay alive, to eat. And not only that, but it's a big part of anybody that owns a grocery store. It's a big part of their budgets as well. If it goes away, a lot of things are affected. So anyway, it's just one of these things, like good intention of a law, but really bad in practice.
Yeah, and we're talking about something pretty big, because we mentioned Farm Bill, and this will come up, and I pay attention to Farm Bill, and we talk about it on the show from time to time, but like 80% of the Farm Bill is not what's happening in your NRCS office or those kind of programs. It's 80% of it, SNAP.
Mm-hmm.
That's more than the lion's share of the Farm Bill.
I didn't know it was that high now, but it used to be just half, but it wouldn't surprise me.
It may be 70%. I don't know, but it's numbers like that. The other thing, too, I've wondered, when you and I have talked about this before, if you can identify the percentage of fraud going on in it, can't you, and not all fraud, like you said, some people, it may be more omission than commission, but you should be able to, if you can tell me how much a percentage is, you should be able to then identify those places and go after it, so the next year it would be less, the next year it would be less, I would think.
Yeah, and I'm no expert at that. I appreciate Claire and Alex and Trish for their reporting on it, because they've talked to the various people. And yeah, a lot of this, I mean, that's why you do audits and accounting, and like, oh, well, what about this? What about, so some of it you can't know on the front end. Again, some of it is, it's impossible to know until it actually happens. And I want to stress, everybody involved in this program says it's not a bunch of fraud going on. It's more mistakes being made. And like, if you move to a different state or something like that, I imagine a lot of that happens down there where you've got two other states in close proximity. But anyway, it's just not fair for Alabama to have to cough up this money and actually threaten the existence of a program while these other states that are doing worse get rewarded.
We need to write this one down when we talk about inefficiencies of government. You know, and you're always trying to remember, like, oh, there's a bunch of them. Well, write these one. This one right here is, this is a poster child for it.
Yeah, and I'm wondering what happens in the farm bill. Now Tuberville has talked about, like, he's not for this. He's not for fixing it. He wants this law the way it is. He thinks, you know, we got to get rid of all this waste and abuse, and this is the only stick that there is to do it. But, you know, if he becomes governor, then that $200 million is going to happen on his watch. And he says there's some ways to fix it. He talks about AI maybe fixing it. But I'm really curious if he sings a different tune if he becomes governor and somehow there's a $200 million hole in the budget. But I don't think it's over. Obviously, Farm Bill just got released from the committee. It has to go through the committee. Has to go to the Senate floor. And I bet you there will be some amendments added, seeking at least a temporary reprieve to states like Alabama, you know, so that there's not this just giant fiscal cliff we're about to head down.
Well, so just joining us, talking to Todd Stacey with Alabama Daily News and Capital Journal. Another story Alex had here. This is interesting. I can't figure out the acronym. You know, Washington loves an acronym, but it's the Affordable Youth Enrichment Opportunities Act, which is AEOOA. I don't know how you say it. But it was introduced on Wednesday. We create a federal tax deduction of up to $5,000 for families, what, with kids that play sports?
Yeah, pretty interesting. And honestly, which is, maybe this is clever on his part, it kind of sounds like a conservative idea, you know, like in terms of encouraging outdoor, get off your phones, you know, participation in team sports, which I think is great. Now, we can quibble over whether or not tax dollars should go to that. Of course, it's just tax deductions and tax credits. Yeah. It's a little different than just shelling out money. But yeah, I think it's a great concept. I mean, obviously, it takes a long time to get ideas like this through Congress, and he's in the minority. Might not be for long, though. Of course, I think Shamari faces an uphill battle with the new district being like it is.
Yeah.
But it's things like this that could actually break through and make him seem less crazy than his New York counterparts.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's for sports. It's also like, and my kids they didn't do a lot of sports at higher level and we weren't traveling, but it said arts programs and tutoring. That's also in there.
Sure.
A lot of families are like, okay, I can tell you, it ain't cheap. The arts is not cheap, and the tutoring's not cheap.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, get into music, get into theater. I mean, I think a combination of all that. You know, we played sports growing up. Of course, I think it's a lot different these days. I watch my nephews, and goodness gracious, they're on every travel ball team, yeah. And they got, I mean, their equipment is better than some high schools, I bet. So, yeah, it's expensive. But I, in general, I just think it's a good thing to encourage, you know, families, give them an incentive to have, you know, participation in team activities, something, get off your phone and do that. So, yeah, I like the concept.
All right. People want to read, obviously, these stories we talked about and a whole bunch more. How do they get signed up for the email, or how do they just check out the website?
It's easy. Just go to aldailynews.com. You can sign up right there. But, Sean, I want to pitch our 4th of July coverage. We are going to be live at the American Village in Montevallo. That's the one with all the replica, you know, Independence Hall and Mount Vernon. And it's really cool. It's going to be this live performance. The Blind Boys of Alabama are going to be playing, a lot of other artists. But we're it. you know, there's no national thing happening that night. That's the night before. So tune in to APT. It's going to be a lot of fun and a huge fireworks show. Just have it on your TV while you're enjoying your barbecue.
Okay, so that'll be, and you'll be, will you be doing kind of play-by-play on it, or what are you going to be doing?
Yeah, I'm hosting it along with my colleague Melanie Posey, and so we're co-hosting Sweet Home 250, a celebration here in Alabama from the American Village. That'll be live, starting at 6:30 on APT, so we're really excited about it.
Good stuff, Todd. I appreciate it. We'll check you out on the TV and then talk to you soon on the radio.
All right, Sean, be good.
All right, there he goes, Todd Stacey, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:25, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. So you following the Utah fire? I absolutely am. On the phone, I have the place that, you know, there's two different, maybe more than two, but that big fire that I guess started up last week. The one, I have friends that live in Beaver, in the town where you see the video where it started on the side of the mountain. Whenever I was in those mountains, I was talking to my buddies, and they said, yeah, where y'all were here and here and here, and fire ripped through there, just there in October, which was crazy, too, because I said, why is it so dry? We got there in October for a hunt, and there was a bunch of snow. Bunch of snow up there. And he said, well, we really didn't get any the rest of the year. It's crazy. And it's a big one. There's a couple of them out there. Let's see. Michael said $8 a pound to remove invasive silver toadfish. Sounds like a dang good deal. You know, I was listening to that story earlier too, Michael. He goes on to say, we could get a group together, possibly visit Greece and have an all expense paid spearfishing trip. I'm in, Michael. Have Hawaii Hawaiian sling pole and we'll travel. Don't have a gun right now, but I'll buy a spear gun for that, but I have the both heads, like the, you know, the multi-prong, I guess that's the Hawaiian head, and then the regular spearhead with a sling spear, so I can go. Brand new rubber on that thing too, so it slings good. Let's see, Mike says, why don't we have a way to report abuse? I know a lot of people that have to pay their rent with EBT. Can you pay their rent with EBT? Squirrel Vereen says, soon we will see. Oh, that's earlier. We need an extra tax for the pride heads. Okay. Texture says, this is anecdotal, but I used to work with a guy who had a dad and he fathered, I'm not kidding, it was 15, close to 20 children, and he trafficked in food stamp fraud. The father made a living off food stamps. I really don't know how he did it. Didn't really want to know. But his son, who I worked with, was pretty adamant that it was a pretty amazing grift. Did they slow some of that down with the like using the cards versus the actual food stamps? I don't know. But but what's interesting about that story is, I mean, isn't that a sign of federal government and the way they write laws? So Alabama has a low, because Alabama's rate is not as out of control as other states, Alabama may be on for $200 million in penalty on that, but states like Texas and Florida, they're way higher on the rate. They don't have to pay because it's out of control. I mean, that's Washington for you. That is Washington for you for sure. I mean, and some of the things with SNAP that have been talked about here in the state, I like the ideas of, if you're going to be using SNAP benefits, let's get healthier food. The job is to have a safety net for the American people. Okay. And that's a good thing. You said we fall on bad times. I will say, I've learned to believe this is a good thing over time, because I've seen how it affects some people. But that needs to be food to feed people, nutritious food, not fun food. Which, speaking of taxes and all that stuff too, and I do know the reason, but over the weekend, I was mulling over as we went and bought a bunch of fireworks. Shouldn't we get a tax break on fireworks? I mean, this all kind of started, celebration of, not on New Year's, but for Independence Day. Shouldn't we get a tax break on the fireworks? I mean, we're celebrating the nation's independence. It all started about taxes. Shouldn't we get a little ease on taxes on fireworks? All right, state legislators, start working on that. Alabama, we celebrate the nation's independence by a tax holiday. I can go pull my receipt, see how much I paid last night. It probably would scare me. A tax holiday on fireworks to celebrate, you know, the nation's independence. Now you could say, well, we have representation now. Well, our representatives, let's get the taxes off it. Yep. Ben was saying here about the bill Congressman Figures brought up about getting taxes, the Affordable Youth Enrichment Opportunities Act that would create federal tax deduction of up to $5,000 if your kids play sports, arts program, or tutoring. Ben says also, if you take them hunting and fishing, you talk about saving some money there.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Check in with my man Blaine at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. And, you know, you and I always talk about mowing and zero turns out there and everything in stock. But what if somebody's never done the zero turn thing and they want to see if they like it?
Yeah, Sean. So we've got some demo mowers here at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale that we use for the guys that are unsure or don't know. And, you know, they don't want to buy it without knowing. So we've got some demo mowers, so if you never had a zero turn or you're just unsure of that specific one, it might not be a bad idea to use this one of our demos for a day just to try it out and see how you like it. So that's definitely an option. Like I said, we're here at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. We got demo mowers, and maybe it's you could be a landscaper that, you know, you might have a few yards that take a few more mowers. We've also got these zero turns in our rental fleet. So that's another option to rent one for, you know, a day, a week, a weekend, or a month. So,
yeah, and I have a feeling, y'all. I mean, Blaine's a good guy, but he knows what is going to happen for the majority. If you haven't run a zero turn before, you run one, you'll be like, okay, yeah, I need that. it changes the game.
Most of them do come and buy them, especially once they run, you know, these diesel ones or our commercial fuel-injected gas mowers. It really, you know, it's a big difference for sure.
Okay. So somebody wants to check it out. They want to do a demo. How do they get in touch? Who do they call? How do they do this?
You can call us here at the store. Our number is 251-947-4171. Or just stop by here in Robertsdale, Parrish Tractor. We're right here in the middle of town. Come by, see any of our salesmen up front. Or we've got our rental counter as well. We're here Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturdays, 8 till 12. And you can visit us online and check out all that equipment and our used inventory at parrishtractor.com.
Good stuff, Blaine. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Sean.
All right. There goes Blaine at Parrish Tractor. Let's get a couple texts here. This IT Jesus says this might be overly pragmatic, but why not a weigh-in to get food stamps? So if you say, you say you're like 150 pounds overweight, obviously you don't need food stamps for a while, just saying. You start weighing people. Tell you what, my mother, a retired flight attendant from back in the 60s, started in the 60s and went through the 2000s. She was early enough in it that when she was with, I think at that point, National Airlines, she went from National Airlines to Pan Am and then from Pan Am to Delta before she retired. As you shut down, you know, a couple big companies, you shut down National Airlines, shut down Pan Am, then went to Delta. But I think it's when she was with National, they used to have to weigh flight attendants. Show up for work and they put them on a scale. Can you imagine that today? Yep, that was part of life back then. Unnamed texter says, it's easy for you highbrows to sit up there and take away the food benefits when you dunce caps have no idea what poor folks with kids are living through. Okay, first of all, so highbrow, but yet dunce cap. I'm dunce cap. I'm working with that. So let's take all your sweet and treats from your brats and see how you and yours like it. Some folks are bound to the system, no way out. I have worked for the government in this very crap hole state, and I can say that I was born and raised in this crooked town. I know. My kids doesn't deserve sweets and treats. Then what makes yours so damn deserving? You all must not have anyone else to screw with. Okay, so I'll put you down as undecided. You're getting, this is assistance from other taxpayers to help you through tough times, something I believe in. The sweet treat part of it is not the basic subsistence, right? It's a treat. I think you should have great food, be able to buy vegetables and meats, dairy, all these things, you know, with your EBT or your SNAP card. But you seem to believe that this is equivalent because, and I really, my house is the black hole of sweet treats, to the point that there's some street hustling that's gone on for my kids before to get it. So because you think let's say we had sweet treats, then the equivalent is then you should be able to get it when you're on SNAP. How is that equivalent? I paid money. First of all, I paid tax money to have the SNAP benefits there to be able to use. Okay? First of all, so I've paid in, first of all, for SNAP benefits that you're using. Then I take my money after taxes and buy my groceries and make my decisions on what my children eat. But you're saying because I used my money twice in tax money to pay for SNAP and personal money to buy the groceries I chose to buy. So there's some equivalency there that I should be able to, then you should be able to buy junk with SNAP benefits. If I hear this correctly, I know I'm a highbrow dunce cap wearer. I know you're or opening your screed said that. At the same time, too, I had my kids in the school system, in the private school system, so I pay property taxes also that pays for those kids to go to school, but I didn't take from the school system, so I was a net beneficiary there, too. Any of this tracking? He said, I might not have anybody else to screw with. You all might. I'm not trying to screw with you. I'm just talking about a story. But obviously, it sounds like a sore point. Are you, you think possibly you could, if I'm getting, I mean, the only way to get the food, I mean, do you not have any other income? I think the beauty of this is to give you the food needed to feed your family. And I'm talking about junky, good, it's good food. It's meat. It's dairy. Vegetables. Great food to eat. I'm behind the stupidity of saying, you know, changing the law so we don't have the stupid thing where if the chicken is cold, you can buy it with EBT, but if it's warm, you can't. It's dumb. It's dumb. You should be able to buy the chicken either way with EBT, but use it to get it. But to say that the sweet part should be part of it? And shouldn't there be a disincentive to stay on the program? Like a hardcore libertarian lean would be the program shouldn't be there at all. I'm very pragmatic in this. I believe it should be there. We should have a safety net for Americans. But it shouldn't be a hammock. You should have an incentive to say, oh, crap, we fell on bad times. Nobody's going hungry. We're going to be taken care of. And if you got the job making the extra money, then if you want to buy the ho-hos, you buy the bomb pops, whatever it is, and you do that with that money. See, I don't have that option. I have to buy it all with my money after I've given my tax money to pay for that program. And I'm from this place, too. I love that, like, people are like, oh, I'm from here. But so am I. All right. Jerry, Fort Morgan, if you run out of money before you run out of the month, you can survive off rice and beans. Absolutely. But once again, I'm not saying that this person should have to, I want them to have, you know, use the benefit to buy the foods they need to get them through tough times. But that doesn't mean bomb pops and ho-hos. Jason says, sounds like the critic is okay with people breeding themselves deeper into poverty and having kids they can't take care of, and obviously isn't a fan of personal responsibility. Sad that they have a vote. Unnamed texter says, they need a drug test for any government assistance. I have to be drug tested for my job to have my tax money to go to people who cannot find work because they can't pass a drug test. You know, and I don't know how much of that is anecdotal on the drug test thing, but I have talked to people here that have, just say, people that have been on the show, and maybe they said it on the air, but I don't want to call out, or said it personally to me, is one of the issues, because remember my griping about, you know, we're talking about all these jobs coming to Mobile, and they're, you know, they're recruiting people from Southeast Mississippi and Northwest Florida and elsewhere to come in to work these jobs. And I said, how is it that we had an unemployment rate that's X, we need this, you know, we need 3,000 jobs over here, and we can't, and they said, because a lot of times the folks couldn't pass a drug test. Not how much of this is anecdotal, but people that are in that field have told me that. I'm like, yeah, that just sounds like something you say when you're cranky. And they said, no, it's actually like verifiable. Michael says, our house's sweet treats are typically some Silver King corn and watermelon, but I pay for it and the Snap People's ding-dongs. So, by the way, just talking watermelon for a second. Friends of mine that farm just north of us, not too far north of us, up towards Wilmer. Their watermelons are coming in. Got one the other day. I've had some good watermelon before, but I mean, it was good enough that you couldn't hardly eat it without talking about how good it was, that kind of watermelon. God bless. I love it. All right. Coming right back. 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:50, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Good time to check in with the man at LCM Motorcars, David McCrary. And David, not only has got great inventory of vehicles he could talk about, he's got ways for us to shop without being in the sun. I like that, too.
I feel like I'm in Europe and don't have no air conditioning. Man, it is hot out here. Good Lord. We've got the carport. We've got the website. We've got garages. We've got any way we can get you in the shade. It's out here. So, you know, shop from home if you need to. Then you can come out and we can take care of it all real quickly. We got a great, fantastic inventory. Got a lot of vehicles in over the weekend that were delivered. Some real, real nice little Jeep Cherokees. You know, Larry used to say them things make gas, so they do real well. And they're good, reliable vehicles. We got a, you know, BMW sedans. We've got some Camrys. We've got trucks, of course. So it's a really good time to come see us.
Okay. You mentioned the website, too. They can go there and see it. Also, if they happen to be on the lot and y'all aren't there, which is about only 7 hours a week, they can scan that QR code.
That's the truth. Yeah, we're here. More than likely, if you come out here, we'll be here. But if we're not, we have the ability for you to be able to do anything you want to do. You can scan the QR code, go to Carfax with that car or any car on the lot. You can look at the website, and you can also text with us. So we is that what you'd call virtual? I mean, we are here.
That's for sure. And they find you in person as well, the address or how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation. We're 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. It's the third red light on the left-hand side. It's just south of Tillman's Corner. You can give us a call, 251-375-0068, or go to the website. Again, it's lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks, David.
All right, buddy. Have a good day.
You too. There he goes at LCM. Let's go to text line here. And if we don't have time for... If we'll do it maybe after John Sharp, if we do, because I have the screwworm story, and I think it's, did some reading, it's even bigger than just what's happening right now. It's pretty interesting stuff, and I believe it has a vector dealing with COVID on this. All right, unnamed texter said, MREs are good enough for military, they're good enough for SNAP benefits. Joshua, on the flip side, says, messing with a man's Debbie oatmeal pie is like messing with a man's money or woman. Yeah, but should I finance his woman too? All right, Joey says not only should they not be able to get junk food, but no high end anything. I've seen people getting T-bones, filet mignon, lobster, cooked crawfish, and on. It should be the bare minimum, plus drug test everyone that gets any kind of assistance. Another unnamed texter here. I know several people that are in government housing and government assistance for food, and they go to local food banks on certain days of the week to pick up food that they say they need to survive. Then they turn around and make dishes out of these foods and sell them to people they know. Doesn't sound like they really need that much assistance. I like the fact they get some hustle. It's a grift, but it, you know, some hustle in that. Let's see, this from Bill. Saw a man buy a few food items and then two packs of cigarettes and paid with EBT. Well, if you're seeing that, then the store owner is guilty. I mean, there's a violation going on there. Says, further on, I know EBT didn't pay for the smokes, but he still had the extra money to pay for the balance of cigs because of EBT, so to me it's no different. This scenario is not the exception, but the rule around here. Yeah, well, that's what I wanted to get at too, Bill, with the previous texter, or one that started off with calling me dunce cap, highbrow dunce cap. It's always funny we talk about, like, in international affairs, like, we'll give money to the Iranians, but you can't use it on this. You can only use it on this other stuff. Like, listen, if you had a checkbook and you got the money, you're like, oh yeah, I didn't use your money on that. I used your money on this. You're right. So I'm saying, if you have this assistance for that texture and it helps you buy the meat and poultry and dairy and all those kind of things, and you have extra money if you want for bomb pops and ho-hos. So, Bill, I agree. The man had the money for the cigarettes because he didn't have to pay for the food. Bob says, I work in a grocery. I work in grocery. SNAP also allows the purchase of $23.99 a pound tomahawk steaks, which I can't afford. You know, that's a budgeting thing. Not to you, Bob. But, like, if you say, well, people don't have enough money with these benefits, there may be needs to be, when you get the benefits too, you don't think you should have to do this, but hey, here's how a smart shopper works, right? You see what's on BOGO, you see the sales. I mean, y'all do this like I do, right? And you go and, oh, they got chicken quarters on sale. You buy them, you might cook one that week and freeze the other. And I mean, that's just, it's budgeting, right? So if the person's buying, which I do like a tomahawk steak, but if the person's buying something like that, then it's not a grift, it's a ignorance, I guess, to how budgeting works. Let's see, Fire Dog says, military MREs are a form of cruel and unusual punishment. I saw a starving dog in Afghanistan turn down the bacon and eggs. I thought they would have changed by now, Fire Dog, and I know, like, previous texters and people I know, like you that are veterans, have talked about the MREs. The MREs we used to get, we thought we were onto something as kids. When we go on camping trips with scouts, we'd go get our MREs from the Army Navy store, and we'd had them, and they were not great. I can tell you, I remember from back then, they were not great. And I remember hearing from father's friends that they were talking Vietnam veterans. They were talking about the MREs they had in country in Vietnam, and they they didn't celebrate them so much. Michael says, I saw a story where Haitians were sending their EBT paid food back to Haiti to set up bodegas. It's all a big circle of fraud. The problem is this, though, that I believe we have to have the safety net. I think somebody falls on hard times, you have to have a safety net. But it gets like anything. You put the money out there, it gets abused. Maximus says, can I get assistance because I make enough to buy ho-hos, but my wife won't let me buy any because I'm fat? you got to keep them secreted away, Maximus. Buried out in the yard or something like that, which you can do, because have you seen a study they did on Twinkies or something like that, that there's a 25-year-old Twinkie, and it was still, they opened it like nothing was wrong with it, like it doesn't rot or anything. And then T-Bone here, yes, I saw a man using, this is, by the way, T-Bone gave me a picture of me in a highbrow dunce cap. You're good with the picture creation that fast, T-Bone. So I saw a man using his EBT to buy crack cigarettes and Everclear. I bet it happens all the time. T-Bone knows how to get people fired up. So it's once again, I'm just pointing out that if we're going to talk about the SNAP benefits, so this all started with the questions about fraud, and somebody who legitimately would use SNAP benefits, I believe, would be, I would hope, an advocate to get rid of the fraud in it. And that's what started all this off. Right. John Sharp's going to join us in a little bit. Hopefully we'll get the latest. He's been down with you in South Baldwin County. I guess there's an update. There was a meeting to discuss the Dolly Parton, was it pirate ship? You know, it's like a dinner theater thing down there that's been proposed. You know, I don't think it gets the pushback of a solar farm, but there is some pushback on it. Speaking of which, we have time next hour. I know y'all have referendum coming up for Stockton on the solar project. Although the way I understand it is the solar project for Stockton has been grandfathered in. It's been around long enough. But we'll get in that story and get comment. But first, yes, the fight against Dolly Parton and her dinner theater coming up.